It's Candy O 742. Stand by, Mariah Carey next.
I would rather be in the field of animation. You know, feel like I could be myself, yet someone different at the same time.
Bringing a world perspective to today's news.
Why voiceover? It's powerful, it's creative, it's cool.
Oh yes, voiceover is cool, but it's not as cool as talking shop with Dan Lothian and Law Lapidus.
What's that? It should be Law Lapidus first, then Dan Lothian?
Eh, they'll fix it in post. This is Mike, Camera, Action.
Our guest, incredible up-and-coming actor, Russian-born tour de force, really one of our favorite clients at the studio, is none other than Serge Dedanko, who's awesome. He's a professional rapper and a producer on the East Coast. He even toured for several years in the market. And now he's being featured in films like The Equalizer. He just had a speaking part on NBC's show The Blacklist. Oh, and this is exciting. He landed a print campaign as a model for Dunkin' Donuts. So when you're getting your coffee, look for him on the counter.
Welcome to the studio.
What's up?
It's a crowded house today. We have lots of people in the studio. It's great to have you here with us. And how did you end up? Were you just walking down the hall and then you heard noise and you stepped in, or did you get an invitation?
I don't even know how I got here. I was talking to Greg, came here to hang out. Why not? Now I'm talking some shop. So
okay, so for our listeners who can't see Greg, Greg is with us in studio as well. And Greg Bescher, am I saying that right? Greg Bescher? Greg is an incredible videographer. Your Real TV. Did I say that correctly? Your Real TV. He is filming a Reality Bite promo series for us at the studio. How incredible is that? So they're best friends.
Okay. Okay.
And besties. And
Russian Mafia.
Russian Mafia on the side.
Feels
they
like
moonlight
the
as Russian Mafia.
It feels like the ultimate multitasking going on here.
I know. And it's like a cross-pollination of marketing on every level.
I feel like over the corner we need someone juggling and, you know, a little bit more going on in here.
So exciting. So Serge started out as a client with us a number of years back at the studio, and now friend and colleague and working on a million projects, so I invited him in.
Very good, very good. So Serge, tell us, first of all, where are you from? Are you from the area, or where are you from?
I'd like to think I am, but I was born in Moscow, Russia. I came here when I was 5, so I don't have much of an accent, but I can still read and write in Russian, which is super helpful.
Oh, wow.
I grew up around Massachusetts, all over different cities and towns and whatnot, and yeah.
You know, I was always fascinated with Russia, obviously the former Soviet Union. When I was in grad school, actually, my thesis had to do with, you know, glasnost and perestroika. And so this was, I've never been, but it was always, I wanted to be a foreign correspondent based in Moscow. And one of the few countries that I have not yet, still on my list, and I haven't made it there. But yeah, that's, I was fascinated. Back then, you know, it was like the thing to be fascinated with. Anyway,
so here's a fun fact. Yeah. When Serge came to visit us at the studio like 4 years ago, whenever it was, we worked on some monologue material because he's a professional actor. And tell him what happened as we worked on this monologue material together. And I was kicking your family show,
mm-hmm.
right? What did we want to do in this monologue? If you remember the original one, what was I asking you to do?
So La basically picked me up over her head and snapped me in half. She broke me. She broke me, figuratively speaking. Yeah, she allowed me to open up, wrestling move style, whatever.
Yep. What?
WWF,
this is
all the way.
I have not heard about this before.
Mm-hmm.
So basically she wanted me to rap in my monologue, because I have a little background. That's what I used to do. I used to perform a lot, do a bunch of shows in New England, East Coast stuff. But I felt like,
and at the time he happened to look exactly like Eminem at that time.
I've had a buzz cut my whole life, and now I have hair.
Okay. Yeah, I was trying to see the Eminem thing. It wasn't adding up for me, but I get it. Okay. Yeah.
We'll show you his old headshot. You'll see what we mean.
Okay. Yeah, literally almost a day did not go by back in the day when people would. I was a valet once, and someone gave me $10 just for looking like Eminem.
Really?
Yeah, I was like, what?
Not bad.
Yeah.
Slim Shady.
Yeah.
Okay.
Shady.
She told me to rap during the monologue, and I was like, no, that's stupid. Law, that's dumb. Mm-hmm. Why would you come up with such a dumb idea? I was like, like emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't happy. It's not that I didn't want to do it. I just literally thought it was stupid.
And he didn't want to do it. Right. And then what was the second thing we had to do in that monologue?
And to make matters worse, she said that I should speak Russian in my monologue. And I'm like, what? No, I don't want to speak Russian. Why would I do that? That's terrible, terrible idea. And it's probably both of those reasons are probably the reason why I've gotten as far as I've gotten, by adding those and being comfortable with those and constantly adding those just to show that I stand out amongst other applicants.
Right.
It's huge.
Wow.
So thank you, Law.
You're welcome.
You sort of teed it up there for all the things you've been able to do up to this point. What's the latest thing? Talk to us about your latest project.
So I was casted. I got a role on The Blacklist, show on NBC. I got a speaking role. It's my first ever speaking role. So that was awesome. That filmed in January. It aired like last Thursday.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's...
We were all watching that from bed and texting each other.
Mm-hmm. It was a small scene, but nevertheless, it's once you open your mouth on national television, it definitely helps as far as building resumes goes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited to work and grow and step up my second time on the TV.
Right. So tell us about your experience. So that big role for you, what was it like being on the set? What was it like working with the directors and the producers and other actors there, if you did as well? Talk to us, give us a little bit of color there.
It was one heck of an experience. I'll tell you this. So you get details, emails, and they send you all the schedules and the scenes and the locations. And so there's basically this black van by my hotel waiting for me at like 7 a.m. and I'm like, is this for me? So I hop in, and then they ride you off to set. Now, they assumed that day, just because I was so green, I was like, oh, where do I go? Where do I sit? Is this the Blacklist van? They're like, yeah, this is the van, man. So they assumed that I was just like an extra. And so they drop me off at, what do they call it, where all the extras stand and
the commissary?
No, they don't. Extras don't even get craft services. It's what is it? Holding.
Holding area.
Holding.
So they bring me to holding, and someone's like, I'm meeting all these extras. There's like hundreds of them in there, and I was like, all right, this is where I'm going to spend my day. And as I go to check in, the person that's checking in all the extras, she's like, oh, wait, your Serge? Hold on a second. She starts going crazy on her mic. Next thing you know, they got like this AD guy runs in and swoops me in and brings me to my own trailer. Like, I've got my own little premises. And it's immediately like, what do you want? Do you want coffee? Do you want breakfast? Do you want a sandwich? Do you want this? Do you want that? I'm like, oh, I'll just take my black coffee.
That's awesome. And so awesome.
Being on set is just the best feeling in the world. Like, that's what I live for.
Right,
so
right.
I just can't believe that that people do this on a daily, Monday through Friday basis.
And you get paid for it.
And you get paid big bucks.
Yeah. Now, were you a little nervous remembering your lines, or you felt pretty comfortable while
we were
here?
Serge is never nervous. We taught him never to be nervous, ever.
I definitely agree with that. I agree with that. But no, it's like a surreal feeling. It feels so good just knowing that you're that close to doing what you love, that I was so damn ready and confident to give my lines, especially because once you've made it, it's like, okay, he's good enough. We're going to use him no matter what.
Right.
You know? So, and they'll do multiple takes. The audition is where you really feel the nerves.
Right.
Because you only get that one shot. But once you're on set, it's everyone's just chilling. Everyone's laid back. All the actors are friendly. There's like 150 people working for you, and everyone's super friendly. So
cool. He was on set with Mikey, our tech director, Mikey Jablon. And that's actually where you guys met and how you came to the studio. Right? It's all about networking.
Yeah.
It's all about connecting. So I remember Mikey saying something similar to what you were saying. He had a small role in Equalizer, and he said, oh my gosh, and I had a trailer, and I had my name somewhere, and I had this, and I had that. I said, enjoy it now. You're going to go back to being no one. Have a ball now.
You got to get your own coffee and figure out your own place.
Yeah, it is surreal though, right?
What's crazy is just what you just said. The day when you go back to the real life, it's like, oh my God.
Right. So when was the seed planted? You obviously enjoy, I can just tell, body language and everything coming out of your mouth, that this is your passion, that you really enjoy this, and you it's only the beginning of what will be an incredible journey for you. But where did it all begin? When did you get bitten by the acting bug?
I got to say, I knew that I always wanted to be a musician because my dad's a lifelong musician. He's still a musician. So I always knew that that's what I wanted to do ever since I could remember my earliest memories. As soon as we hit the States, that's when I caught the acting bug. Just seeing some of like the child actors and all that. So I don't know. I automatically wanted to be in movies. And I never really did anything with it. I actually went to Barbizon, if you know where that's at.
Mm-hmm. They're still around.
Modeling folks.
Schools, right.
Yeah,
right.
I was like 10. My parents spent like a grand on it. They still make fun of that experience because they taught us how to like take our jackets off. All this cheesy stuff. Yeah. And I'm like, it's starting to pay off, Mom. Barbizon's paying off. So I did that. And then I did music. I did music for the longest time. And I did pretty good. We toured the East Coast. And I kind of gave up on it.
As a solo act or with a group?
Solo act.
Okay.
Solo act. Produced all my own stuff and did it all in my own bedroom studio. And we did pretty good.
He's
on some big blogs.
He's incredible, too. You really should hear his music. It's really amazing. Great. Can you do a quickie for us? Any quickie you can remember? Sometimes it's hard to actually remember.
Yeah.
It's weird. Like for me, if I memorize something and mm-hmm. have it ready to go, it's memorized for that moment mm-hmm. and then it's just gone.
So it's in
I don't remember.
It's in
like
your short term memory, but then you let it go after that, right?
Yeah, I don't know why it works that way, but like gone to so many auditions over the past years and I've memorized so many lines, and the only thing that I remember is my lines from The Blacklist because spent so much time on that.
That's how you kind of purge it out of your brain, out of your system. Yeah. He did an incredible rap for our studio, though. We played it on our website for like a year and a half. We got so many comments on that, how fun it was to listen to. Do you remember any of that?
Welcome to Lollapita's studio.
That's right.
It's on my old computer. I owe you that. I'm going to get that to you.
I would love that.
And I'm going to finish it.
I would love that. So he started out. Search started out with his first showcase with us in New York. And actually, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, during that very first showcase is where you met your current agents now that you still have. Or was it later?
I think it was like maybe after... One, I think it was the second showcase. First one, I got called back right away. So I was like, this is working. I might have an agent. And then the second one is when I think I finally got something from Anne. And they just tested the waters with me. I guess mm-hmm. you call it like dating. Dating right. to begin with before you start taking it serious. Mm-hmm. You know.
So what was your first role? So you go into music. You spend a big chunk of your life focusing on the music. But then you start getting acting roles, small roles, community theater. What was the step that you took?
It's kind of funny because I was dead set on rap. Like you couldn't tell me that I was going to do anything else. And I had some friends say, dude, you should act. And I'd be like, screw you almost. Like I felt like mm-hmm. they were trying to take away from the rap stuff. Mm-hmm. And music, like it was a good experience, but it was really, really stressful. I'll never stop doing music. I still have goals with that. But it wasn't that easy. And then one day, I don't know how it happens, some director in Boston, he had like a decent budget, is working on a movie, and somehow he gets wind of my music and he has me go in for this audition. And it's my first ever audition, and literally I had to fake an orgasm in the audition. And I was just like totally comfortable with it. I actually brought one of my friends with me to watch me, and they were like, dude, that was really good, man. That was really good. So he put me in this movie. It's called Skinheads in Love. It's like an indie. And I was like, okay, cool, whatever. That happened. And then he personally told me that he wanted to work with me. He thought that I had skills, and somehow he submitted me to the Equalizer. It just said looking for Russians with tattoos. And so he submitted me, and I get an email saying that I was handpicked by the director. And so next thing you know, I'm on that, and then I meet Mike.
Wow.
And then I meet Law, and it's just it's crazy.
Oh, so this is rocket ship stuff here. This isn't like hanging out at the side of the road waiting for a mile here,
stuff.
A mile there. You just like got off an exit and then jumped on ahead of everybody else.
That kind of how it feels like to me. I mean, it was a lifelong journey to a mm-hmm. degree, but if you look at that per se, it was pretty quick. And 6 days of working on the Equalizer, like you could take my whole music career, everything that I've done, and all the years that I spent in music does not shake a stick at how I felt those 6 days was like the best days of my life. So wow. That's when I knew I was like, I need to figure out how to do this again. And luckily I met Mike and it worked out. So.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
Surge has been annoyingly successful in a very irritatingly short amount of time. Because I mean, when you go to graduate school or when you go like walk that walk, like all the actors are walking the walk in L.A. and New York, it takes them years,
right.
Literally years, to create relationships, to get the training, to nail the auditions, if it ever happens at all. And Surge has really found a way to do a package of what he has to offer, pretty fast track. A couple years, look where you are.
Wow. Well, congratulations on
that. Amazing.
You know, one of the things we've always talked about in a book that we're putting together, but also here on this podcast, is that as you're trying to reach some of these goals that you've set for yourself, whether it be, you know, acting or whatever that role may be that you're trying to get, that you always have to keep doing things. And in your particular case, you were going down the venue avenue of music, but you also were thinking about, wow, this acting thing, I want to try that out. Talk to us about how just staying busy, engaged, doing things in the industry helped prepare you for where you are now.
Well, basically, it's a grind. And the one thing that I've learned, and this is a key thing that I've learned from Law, she has permanently drilled this into my head, is that if someone says jump in this industry, mm-hmm. how high, you know,
yeah.
every mm-hmm. single time. I'm really lucky. I've been in door-to-door sales for over 10 years. That's pretty much my job.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a door-to-door sales guy. I found success at it. And because of that, because I'm 1099, I've always had the ability to, if I need to go to an audition in New York City in like 6 hours,
you could do it.
I'll be there, you mm-hmm. know, and that complements my extracurricular stuff. So for me, I found it easy to be places that I need to be whenever I need to be there.
Right,
so I'm lucky with that. But it's kind of crazy where all those little opportunities, if you miss one opportunity, you never know the toll it could take on your future. I mean, one missed audition could set you back like 10 years of auditions.
Right.
Could be a chain
right.
reaction.
Right.
Could be.
Yeah. You never know how it works. So
right.
for me, just knowing that has, I'm going to keep going. I don't care what happens. You could tell me no a million times. I'm going to keep going to auditions. I know what I want. So it's just, that has been permanently ingrained. It makes me feel good just hustling. So
wow.
Got to keep going.
Wow.
That's an important word he just said. You know, I think it's always had a negative connotation, hustling, when now really, especially in this economy and in this day and age, trying to run a business, and you are your own business. You are your business and your brand. You really do have to hustle, and you really do have to be client-centered.
Right.
So that when that client, that producer, that casting, that agent calls you, you really have to be available. You really do. I mean, you know, our staff always makes fun of me and other clients who are available in Saturday night, in the morning. But it's kind of like that.
They make fun of you?
Well, Dan, not you. You're the only one probably who has respect for me anymore. But
oh, well, I didn't realize that.
Is,
yeah, I might have to change that.
Well, when you're texting from bed Sunday morning, 4 a.m., but the truth is, and this is the truth, and it's an inconvenient truth, as a wise man once said, that is... that's the nature of our industry. It's not a 9-to-5 industry. It's what we call a lifestyle business or a lifestyle industry. You have to love it. You have to live it. You have to have passion for it. And you have to be ready when you least expect it.
So true. So true. So what's your dream role? When you sit there at night and you think about your name in the big bright lights and, you know, in the credits and so forth, what are you dreaming about?
I see a role kind of similar to my upbringing. It would make sense because I'd be very comfortable with that type of role. Mm-hmm. Obviously a lead role, but something that didn't play too far away from the things that I'm familiar with.
So right,
a lot of action. A lot of the stuff that I go for, I like. I definitely can relate to it. But something to do with, I just don't feel like there's a lot of movies on this current generation or this current state of society or like a particular dilemma in the neighborhood. I feel like movies nowadays, they're just recreating the same old like aliens, or Wild Wild West or, you know, just stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I would like to make a realistic type of movie based on lifestyles or, you know, like just growing up in Boston or something like that. Like, you don't see that too often.
Right, right.
That would be a dream for sure.
But you like the action.
Oh, yeah, who does?
And do you find that, for the roles that you go up, that you tend to gravitate to, is there a lot of competition?
Not really. Oh, man. Really? Knock on wood.
That's good.
It's I got to thank my parents for, I was born in Moscow and I can speak Russian, but sometimes I think to myself, like, if I couldn't speak Russian and if I wasn't Russian and if I couldn't, read in Russian, where the heck would I be? I feel like there would be so much more competition. I've talked to a couple of different agents and casting directors. Yeah, there's a ton of Russians, but it's not, it's really difficult to find Russian speakers that happen to be good actors. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I just feel like I'm lucky to be able to compete in that space. And I don't know where I'd be if I wasn't in that space. Because there's just,
Which brings up another great point that we've talked about is sort of finding your niche, looking for something special that you have and then exploiting it, mm-hmm. Whether it's your ethnic background, whether it's some language skills, mm-hmm. maybe it's some trick that you can do, whatever it is, but using that to stand out from the pack.
Yeah, and being really unafraid to take hold of that
Exactly. Some people run away from it.
And thank goodness you ran towards it and not away from it. Your natural instinct was to run away, but then you really, as you were able to sink into it and understand the value of it and look around and say, wow, this separates me, this makes me really unique, then you can really exploit that and enjoy that. And, sometimes, Dan, it's things that people don't want to see. Like maybe, it could be their weight, it could be their age, it could be their ethnicity, it could be a speech impediment. It could be things that our society doesn't typically tolerate but that in our industry could be your calling card to success and to a lot of very exciting roles.
Right. I mean, you talked about the weight issue. Is it Jenny McCarthy? What the funny?
Melissa McCarthy.
Melissa, right. Different one. But it's interesting because it's her weight that she really played that up and, comedy around the weight and that opened the door. Now she's so well known and so is so bankable that she can get other roles. But that's kind of what she focused on. She didn't run away from it and say, I need to look like the typical model out there. I'm just going to, sell what I have. Mm-hmm. And audiences bought it and mm-hmm. she's been very successful. So, so here you are, you got you were just recently on a great show. What's next? Do you have another? Should we be looking for you somewhere on the big screen, or
always?
You're going for some more auditions, right?
Just stay home and watch your TV, and I'll be on it soon. Guaranteed. Yeah, I've been going on some pretty big auditions, mostly New York stuff. I've actually got one in Boston tomorrow for a pretty big major film that will be filming soon. So excited for that, and I'm working on a couple side projects, some stuff with Law. We're doing that independent show, movie, mm-hmm. crime drama, mm-hmm. that, and expect to see me come back with the music. I've been off for a couple years, but I think that's really necessary as an artist to kind of soak in some life before you get back into the studio. So that is, I'm fully on board with that. That's not going anywhere. I will be back with that shortly. So,
well, I can't let you go without asking you a couple items that you would give to our listeners right now. How to make it in the industry, how to stay relevant in the industry, how to survive the industry. What are two or three tips off the top of your mind that you did yourself that really worked well for you that you would advise to others?
Well, the key thing with this is to get seen. It's definitely all about who you know. It depends on what market you live in, but in New England, I mean, it's simple. What do you want at the end of the day? You want to get the big roles and you want to go for some of the big auditions. You can't really get those for the most part without an agent. How do you get an agent? One way I know is by going to a showcase. Who does them? Law does them. So so that's kind of the equation.
Shameless promotion.
All right, here's your cha-ching, $10.
Cha-ching. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, 50. It's 50 now.
All right.
Oh, it's going up.
With inflation.
Yeah, yeah, we're getting ready for that. But yeah, showcases, get in front of casting directors, go on blogs, stay consistent. Also, you have to accept the reality that, you know, if this is something that you truly love and you want to pursue, then you have to be ready. You have to be ready at all costs, because you get that one audition, they think you're good for it, and you don't show up, and they will blacklist you. Is that
blackball. That sounds familiar.
Well, yeah, exactly. You get blackballed or whatever. They don't want to see you again. So relationships are huge. Consistency is huge, and it takes time. It takes years. Are you okay with years of rejection? If the answer is yes, then I'd say give it a shot.
Very good.
Very nice.
Serge, thanks so much for joining us on our podcast.
Thank you, guys.
Awesome to have you.
Thanks.
So then I was like, do you want to see my Neumann?
Dude, we're still rolling.
What? They're still listening? Don't these people have homes?
Well, since you're still with us, check us out at lalapitascompany.com and littleparkmedia.com and look for Media Monster, the Learning Hub programs. Everything from coaching to podcasts to media events and very cool and necessary seminars and workshops.
By the way, did that lazy tech director ever fix the intro on post?